during this time of Epiphany, we've had a number of stories that have called us to think of our senses, right? So we had the speaking of God's word in the baptism of Christ and how those words have power. Last week with the calling of Philip and Nathaniel, it was that Jesus was seeing them even before they were introduced to him. He knew them when he saw them. Today, I think of the hearing, right? When Jesus calls, when strangers hear the word of God, it calls them into action. It's so interesting to have this text here where Jesus proclaims that the time has drawn near, the time has come. He proclaims the same message that John the Baptist was proclaiming out in the wilderness, right? Repent. The kingdom of God has come near. But his words have even more action that comes out of them. It's also really funny that it's paired with Jonah. I don't know how much you remember about the story of Jonah. Most of the time we remember at least that Jonah was at one point swallowed by a big fish, sometimes called a whale, right? Spent 3 days in its belly. But the whole theme, I mean, Jonah is really a story that's meant to be humorous, probably not factual, and yet calls to the deepest nature of what it means to be one who proclaims God's word, which is what Jonah is supposed to be as a prophet. He is the one who is speaking God's word. And so when God calls him and tells him to go to Nineveh, Jonah's response is, not going to happen, God. And instead, he goes the opposite direction on a boat, which is when he gets thrown over the side because there's a big storm, swallowed by a fish, 3 days in the belly until Jonah says, okay, enough. And the fish throws him up on the beach. And God, in our lesson this morning, calls to Jonah a second time and says, go to that great city, Nineveh. So Jonah goes to this great city, and this is how we know that this story may not be quite factual, not just the whole belly of the fish thing, but Nineveh is a city so great that it's a 3-day walk across it. How far can you walk in 1 day? Probably somewhere between 20, maybe even 30 miles. So if it's 3 days of walking, this city is 90 miles wide. No, probably not. But it's a huge city, a great city. And it is filled with some of the most murderous and lawless people known in the area. The Assyrian Empire, not good people. And Jonah, as he goes, gives the world's worst sermon. He walks 1 day in, stops, and gives the 5-word sermon, which might sound like a good one, but it's really not. 5-word sermon. 1 more day, and Nineveh will be gone. The end. It's 5 words in Hebrew, not in English. Anyhow, short sermon, doesn't even mention God, and yet Jonah's half-hearted sermon turns the entire city around. Everyone, from the emperor to the lowest person to the cattle, all repent. Even the animals put on sackcloth and sit in ashes, repenting and turning towards God. And so God relents and doesn't destroy Nineveh. Upon hearing the word of God, an entire city repented. Now, it's funny, this word repent, because it shows up in all these different places, right? Repent with Jonah, repent with John the Baptist, repent with Jesus. What is this repenting? Sometimes when we hear repent, we hear the idea of the Hebrew idea of repent, which is to turn away from something, to turn oneself around. But I heard a really great one for the Greek word, which is metanoia, which is more about what you're thinking than about action. And it was this: not just have a change of mind, but let the word of God blow your mind with what is about to happen. Just try to wrap your head around this new amazing thing that God is doing, because the kingdom of God has come near. Now, the actions that we see of these fishermen seem to lend themselves to this thought that Jesus, in his walking down the beach and calling to them, is something so amazing that it blows their mind and they just have to follow him. It sure doesn't seem like it in what we hear from Mark, that Jesus is doing something so spectacular. But what we find out is that what Jesus is saying has created this change. It has caused something new, something big, something amazing. Just in saying, the kingdom of God has come near. Now is the time. Sometimes I think that we are fairly hesitant to be people who proclaim the word of God. We don't know what words we might say, or how to say it, or whether it's the right time to share, or how others will receive what we have to say. Might be a little uncomfortable. I think, if anything, what we hear between both Jonah and our gospel is that it really doesn't matter what you say, in a lot of ways, right? Jonah wasn't trying to actually change anyone's mind. In fact, Jonah got really, really frustrated with God because God relented, right? He uses one of those phrases that we hear woven throughout the scripture, right? I knew, God, that you were slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. I just knew you were going to relent, and that's why I never wanted to come, right? Jonah gets so frustrated because God has chosen to love the people of Nineveh. So much so that even though he gave the most half-hearted and uninformative sermon ever, the people repented. Even though all Jesus said is, come and follow me and I will make you fish for people, which sounds quite honestly a little strange and not entirely fun or safe or legal in a lot of ways. The people are drawn to the word of God. So what is it about us then that causes us to be so hesitant in proclaiming God's word? So unsure of ourselves? I think we forget that when we speak God's word, it is not us, but God's Spirit through us. Sometimes we think, I don't have the words. I don't know what to say. I don't know what God would want me to say. And I will say this, probably not the best plan to go out into the streets and start screaming, repent, the kingdom of God has come near. It may not have the same effect now that it had for Jesus or for Jonah. Rather, perhaps what we proclaim is what God has done for us. Maybe something closer to what we hear in the psalm. God is my refuge, my strong rock, the place where I find hope. Maybe instead of proclaiming the word of God to others by trying to call others to repent and do something different, we should, as a whole people of God, proclaim God's word as one where it is how God's love has changed us. When I find myself struggling, I turn to the word of God. When I'm having a hard time, I really love being lifted up by the people of my church. You know, I don't like this isolation, this pandemic, this anything, any more than anyone else. But God is here with us, and we are not alone. It doesn't take a lot of verbiage. It doesn't take a lot of eloquence. We can proclaim God's love simply by remembering where God is in our lives. We can blow people's minds with the good news of Jesus just by sharing how much God's love has changed us. When Jesus calls to his disciples, "Come and follow me," it's not just about what the disciples go and do, but about how Christ calls all of us to come see a new thing, to proclaim it to the world, and to live into the new thing that God is doing, a world vastly different from the one that we normally live in. May you hear God's call. And may you respond in whatever way works best for you. Proclaim God's love in your life.